Test, test. Yeah, this is probably better, huh?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so that way I'm not completely peeking your microphone.
Oh, I would like to buy a Whopper. Extra cheese.
You know it's good content when the whole thing just turns green.
Everyone knows that you can measure the quality of content by the loudness of its speakers.
It's better this way. Anyways.
Like, share, and subscribe.
And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I feel like I don't care.
I think someone might have stolen your knowledge, Cassie. I think it might have been me. I climbed up in your brain and I took it. Yeah, put it in a big bag with a money symbol on it and walk my way out of the door.
Here's the thing.
I did some kind of heist. A mind heist.
Here's the thing. I don't like how much, like, childhood memories and things that I used to know really well, musical numbers and like choreography that my brain has now deleted in lieu of Doctor Who knowledge. I'm not happy about this. I had a conversation at work the other day about we were just going around the room basically and saying like what our dream roles were. And you know what? I couldn't answer that because I have forgotten every single musical that I ever loved and cared about. And so when they got to me, I was like, Peter Pan. That's the only one I can think of. And it's not because I want to be Peter Pan. It's that I want to be as agile and quick as Kathy Rigby still is. And I simply am not.
That's why this podcast whole ritual started with me going, Cassie, I need you to empty your mind. Empty your mind of everything that isn't Doctor Who and breathing.
Yeah, see, but here's the thing. Here's what happened is that then Monty jumped in my lap and then he intercepted that. And now he knows nothing but be small. Be small and so soft. And breathing. He knows breathing.
That's good. I would be concerned if he didn't. He's only got 3 brain cells. There's not a lot to lose.
I mean, purring is breathing.
Well, yes, today we are watching Series 8, Episode 5, Time Heist.
Yay, a heist.
Yeah, I can't even remember what the context was, but it was a while back you had mentioned wanting to see a Doctor Who style heist.
It wasn't after the Louvre got broken into. It was before that.
No, I think it was that I think it was in David Tennant's era and he had like 4 or 5 companions. And so I think you had said something about wanting them to all like team up and do a heist together.
I mean, the number of times that this show has found itself in a museum, a heist was only, it was inevitable.
Yes. This is the time heist. What do you think a time heist is, Cassie?
Is this a question that I'm going to have to get a point for?
No, it's just
you being curious.
Yeah, this is a Zach question.
I mean, a heist is typically you're stealing something. So this is either to the degree of we are getting time back or we are having to do something where our time continuum could be affected by our very presence being in our own time continuum.
Okay.
So it is a careful game of kind of like the third Harry Potter movie. Mm-hmm. is more or less what I'm getting at of a, we have to affect our own outcome, but not get caught.
Okay. That's an interesting idea. But yes, this, instead of Ocean's 11, this is 12's 11.
12's Ocean.
Yes, this is 12's Ocean. Maybe we should get to the Cassie Professor here, just because I'm having difficulty thinking of what else to talk about.
I mean, that's fine.
Hey, Cassie.
Hey, Zach.
What does the doctor think heels are for? Like shoes, like heeled shoes.
Okay.
The doctor thinks they have a purpose, and he is incorrect.
Huh. Well, because historically speaking, they were meant to keep you out of the muck in the streets. Mm-hmm. And by muck, I mean shit, piss, and barf, and all of that other fun stuff that ended up in streets.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that a few episodes ago. And I mean, and I would say now they're probably more as like fashion.
Well, at this point now they're meant to make you tall, mm-hmm. namely, and to sculpt your legs.
Your legs and glutes.
But it is bad if you wear heels often enough, because then it shortens your tendons. Mm. So then you could have some pretty significant pain. Mm-hmm. That's not, this isn't a joke. This is more of a PSA at this point. So what could the doctor possibly think
PSA,
heels are
painful
for?
Shoe announcement.
Yes. Oh my God, Zach, you're so smart. What does the doctor think that heels are for? My assumption would be, because the only other application of a heel I can think of is Get Smart Coded, where you things are stored in your heels.
He thinks it's a it's a shoe phone.
Like it's a pocket. like a small cabinet for something. It could be a shoe phone.
I'll say, to give you a little bit of context, the doctor thinks Clara's heels are used for something.
So is she wearing like a high heel?
Yeah, she's wearing, okay. I think she's wearing stilettos.
Okay. That does change things significantly.
So I figured I would give you that context. Just thank you. So you didn't feel like I had misled you.
Yeah, because stiletto, literally, good for nothing. Maybe.
Can't even stab a man with it.
Yes, you could. That was one of the women's self-defense things that I learned in high school, is if you're wearing stilettos, take your shoes off and just start wailing. That's not a joke. That is a real life thing they taught us.
Street smarts. Stab, 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 stab.
Yes. So we're like, if it's for self-defense and you have to use your shoes, like the court is on your side. Mm-hmm. You would not opt for a shoe as your go-to weapon.
Yeah, you didn't show up with the intention of shoe stabbing.
No, because my only other thought is that stiletto heels do bear a striking resemblance to golf tees.
He uses them for golf.
Yeah, like it is a travelable golf tee, so you can golf wherever. However, I don't know that the doctor has any strong opinions about golf.
He is Scottish.
It was in that moment that I forgot all about the Scots' history with golf and am too embarrassed to ask Zach what he means.
I believe.
No, you're not hearing this. This is inside my own head, Zach. What are you talking about? You can't hear any of this. I'm in my own dojo. All right. Do you want to smarty pants your way into giving me a correct answer?
I don't know that I'll just tell you that I sort of picked this as the unfair question. I was more curious what you were thinking. The next question, I think, is considerably more fair.
OK,
because it has a limited number of options.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, no, I was going to, if you were, since it seemed that you could hear my inside thoughts out loud.
I was just saying that I believe golf was invented in Scotland. I believe it is a Scottish sport specifically. I could be incorrect, but I know it's prominent in Scotland either way. That was all I was going to add. That wasn't necessarily anything to correct
you. The more you know. That's kind of the only answer I have right now. I'm not thinking about anything more creative.
All right. So we're going to say that the doctor thinks that heels are for golf.
Golf tee.
Yeah. All right. The little golf tee.
Or it's a weapon, which I will stand by because I did talk a considerable amount of that.
Either way, clubs are involved.
Yeah. That was a good.
He hears Clara's going to go clubbing and misunderstands.
Yeah.
Shows up with a giant like stick.
Yeah.
All right. And then for the second part of the profanity today, this one was one that I had totally forgotten about. Uh-huh. Until I rewatched the episode. This episode features one of the primary cast members of the Wicked movies.
Oh, damn. You told me this question the other day and I was going to cheat and then I forgot. Oh, man.
Can you guess which cast member from Wicked made an appearance 10 years earlier in Time
Heist?
Can I
ask, are they like...
They're an actor you would know the name of.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I mean, though, is you said prominent cast members of Wicked. Is that the one thing that I would like? Oh, yes, that is the thing that they are known for right now.
I mean, that's the biggest thing they have that I think they've been in. I mean, I'm sure that, and I know that everybody who has everybody in that has been in something else. So it's hard for me to say for sure.
Well, yeah, but it's like at least moving forward, that is the thing that they will be known for. So like,
yeah, they will. They will, I think everyone will always associate them with Wicked. And so I would say also just to narrow it down, I would say it's anybody on the call sheet that would be like above Bo and Yang.
Okay. Can I say above Bo and Yang, but below like Cynthia, I imagine.
I mean, just to keep it open, I'm saying Cynthia is included in the list.
Cynthia is included in the list.
Yeah. So like Cynthia, Ariana, Jonathan Bailey, SpongeBob, Michelle Yeoh, Jeff Goldblum.
Okay. I don't think it would be. I'm ruling out Goldblum and Yeoh just because.
You think you would have heard about that by now?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I'm also thinking, too, like that would be astonishing if it was everybody moving forward knows Jeff Goldblum for Wicked. Fair. Come on, gang. He was the Fly.
Which is the thing everybody will know Jeff Goldblum for was laying shirtless in Jurassic Park.
I have those on coasters. I have one up on display somewhere.
That's what he will be known for. Cassie's coasters.
Yeah, he's right over there.
But the question is, Cassie, is he also in here?
No, I don't think he's in here. And I'm going to be really upset if he is.
It's just his character from Thor Ragnarok.
Oh my god, that would be so delicious. they absolutely could put the Grandmaster in an episode of Doctor Who. I don't think anybody would blink an eye. Be sick as hell.
And we did learn recently that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is canonical to Doctor Who.
Yeah, I think about that often now. I do be thinking about that. Who's a British actor is now the thing that I'm like. That's the part that I'm holding on to of like, who is
British,
a British actor? Because I also think it'd be quite the pull if they were like, oh, Ariana Grande's in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, this would have been 2014. So she wouldn't have. I guess she would be a big
she
name.
She's still working for. No,
she would. I think she would have just come out of her Nickelodeon era.
Mm-hmm. This is when she was like doing things for herself.
Yeah, this is when she had just started like singing about fucking.
Whoa. Okay. I'm thinking, I'm cooking right now because I know I said, oh, not Cynthia, but I'm like, I think she might be the only. Is Jonathan Bailey British?
Jonathan Bailey is British.
Okay, so it's boiled down to one of those two.
So Cynthia then. Or Jonathan?
Cynthia or Jonathan, I think. Okay.
Is the world's sexiest man in Doctor Who?
Or Nessa Rose. Is she?
I don't know if she's British or not.
Okay. And because you don't know her name and you didn't mention it, I'm going to assume it's not her.
Damn, context clues strike again.
Yep. Okay, so it's between those two then, because you specifically said Cynthia is not to not be on the list. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm correct in assuming that is either her or Jonathan Bailey.
Okay.
Because you did also specifically say Jonathan Bailey. I think because Cynthia was such a big name in like the Broadway sphere, that I could definitely see that being the like, or because of your specific, like your, the specificity of you saying that this is the thing that Wicked is going to be the thing that they will be known for from here on out.
It is a thing they will be known for. I don't know if I would say the thing because I can't see the future, but I think that when people think of Wicked, they will.
I'm going to go with Cynthia then.
Cynthia Erivo?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, Cassie's prophecies today are that the doctor thinks heels are for some form of clubbing and that Cynthia Erivo makes an appearance in Time Heist. And we'll find out together as we watch Series 8, Episode 5, Time Heist. Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by this chair I found. Look, guys, I've done over 100 of these things, and the well is starting to run dry. So I need you all to be real fucking cool and not tell Cassie. She'll get real mad if I didn't do a good ad. She'll make fun of me. She'll, like, tie my shoelaces together and call me fat. She'll kick me in the groin and bonk me on the head. Just be chill, okay? Just be chill. I'll be better next week, so just be chill. Chill. This is our secret, okay? I think I need a snack. And we are back from Time Heist.
That had nothing to do with time.
Very little, in fact.
So upsetting. I was so excited when you said this was a heist episode. And do you know what this absolutely wasn't?
A heist
episode?
Yeah, it was a rescue mission. They even say that at the very end.
Zach. Zach.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by how
I'm mad.
Yeah, I wouldn't say mad, but I'm like,
no, I'm mad.
This seems to so fundamentally misunderstand the joy of a heist,
especially when it's a time heist.
Yeah, time heist.
When you call it time heist, I go, fantastic. We're going to have a Harry Potter 3, but with Doctor Who instead. But No.
Or even like a time heist where like, oh, you have to set up your own success. Like you have to plant stuff in the past for you to come back for it in the future. Or you have to go into the future to like figure out a code that you may not know right now. Stuff like that.
It has everything of the like if you could time travel, like most of us would biff it, where we would take a sports almanac and bet and just get all the money and then become evil.
Oh, you meant the character Biff.
Yeah.
I thought you meant we would just fuck it up and you were saying biff it.
And maybe see, maybe no. But that's the thing of like when you have something where like the whole show is traveling through space and time, as we've established.
Yeah.
One would think that a time heist would be, oh, sick. We're figuring out how to steal time.
Yeah.
We're figuring out how to get time back.
Or
we're having to do something where we are now overlapping ourselves.
Yeah, we're having to do some time travel shenanigans to make the heist work.
This was not even a little bit close to that.
Yeah, no, it was. Can I say what I think the fundamental issue with the episode is?
Is that it's a rescue mission?
Not the rescue mission part of it, because I think that could work.
I think that's its own episode.
I think there's a version of that story that works. I think the memory wipe angle of it, where they like they don't know what they're doing and why, kills it. Like they like you have yeah. There's no motivation that we understand whatsoever for why they're doing this. In fact, at one point the doctor even has to turn to them and say, just picture the thing you want the most and how bad you want it, and that's how we're gonna keep going. And I'm like, that's lame. Like that's so
I had the thought very beginning in the episode. When they're listening to the architect do his like, you're all here on your own volition, whatever. Mm-hmm. I went, oh, this is an escape room. I'm out. I'm immediately not on board because you have four individuals that don't know why they're there and have to be explained why they are there.
Yeah.
Because this has the energy of either the beginning of a D&D campaign where everybody has said, oh, my character has amnesia.
Yeah.
Which was code for, I just didn't want to figure it out or just wasn't involved in wanting to do things.
Yeah. It's very the thing is, it makes for a very like,
but if you
uncompelling narrative.
When you have to have somebody on the outside explaining to the people in the episode why they are doing what they are doing in the episode, mm-hmm. even though like the characters don't know they're in a show, but you know, in this particular context, I was not engaged. I was so not engaged. I took two notes.
Yeah.
Which was escape room. And then I wrote down a quote that the doctor says later on, which we'll get to.
Yeah. Even when they do give you like the motivation, they're still really like vague about it. Like Sai's whole deal where he's like, oh, when you think you're about to die, you see all the people that you love and all the people that are going to miss you. I don't see anybody. And I'm like, why did you do that? Why did you feel the need to?
He wanted to protect them when he was getting questioned in prison. It has the same energy as I mean, I'm making a lot of Harry Potter references. I apologize. But in the last Harry Potter movie, when Hermione's like, I need to protect my parents, I simply never existed to them.
Yeah. And then
erases herself from their lives entirely. Uh-huh. It's like, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
This seems like a
self-sabotage motivation.
Yeah.
In a way that it is not. This doesn't help the story in any capacity.
Yeah. And that it also doesn't really seem, Cyber never really seems like bothered by her powers either. So that when she gets her like, oh, here's the gene thing that will like suppress your shape-shifting powers, like she never really seemed bothered by them.
She did. I mean, she seemed have the whole monologue about how difficult it is to, what was it? Could you listen to somebody who has the same eyes?
Yeah, but that's also, again, it's really weak, first and foremost, but because it's just like other people don't always trust me because of this. And I'm like, OK, most people don't like other people just don't trust you because they are just those are the kind of people that they are. Like, because
on the flip side,
it also sounds like you're conforming to the bigotry of others.
Like on the flip side, first of all, like I contest I was correct in assuming that there was going to be a black woman in this episode. I did call that. I think I should get half a point. And also you lied and said that it was an uncommon use for high heels.
I said it was an incorrect use for high heels. No one uses
to make one taller. No, I said
no
that.
One uses heels to get up on a high shelf.
Yeah. Do you know what people use to get onto a high shelf? A taller person.
So what you're saying is that the doctor's like, why aren't you just getting up on my shoulders?
Yes. Why don't you ask me to get you a
piggyback ride?
So I disagree. I think I get 2 half points. I get at least 1 point.
Sure. I guess I'll give you one. I'll give you 2 half points. And I'll take the little chunks of points here and I'll put them back in the jar, shake them up, and we'll see 1 point comes out of
there. Thank you. Because I was correct.
Out of the Cassie Professor cookie jar.
Yeah, I technically was. And you steered me into the wrong direction twice. You little shrimp.
Maybe the true heist all along was me stealing your points.
What are you going to do with them? What do you want them for?
I'm going to go get to Chuck E. Cheese. And I'm going to get myself a bitchin' spider ring and a Chinese finger trap. And you're going to make you watch me use them and you'll get to play with them.
I can literally go to Party City and get one for 99 cents.
Yeah, but it's the spirit of the doing it.
No. The only correct things that you get as prizes at arcades, weird candy. That's the only reason.
Excuse me, Mr. Cheese. Mr. Cheese, can I have some weird candy?
Yeah. Hi, excuse me, Mr. Cheese. I would like one warhead.
Can I please get just 3 happy farmers? Don't you mean Jolly Ranchers? No, these are off brand. These are Happy Farmers.
Like the ones that are candy, and then on the inside they have a little like hole and it's full of sour powder. I think they're called Zots.
That sounds like you made that up.
Look it up. They're grape flavored. They are delicious. Zots. Anyways, we're getting off topic. I didn't like this episode. I don't know if that was clear.
Yeah. And part of it, there's a few different parts of it where it's all like this should be better. Like you guys, like the idea.
They shit the bed.
Yeah. And it's also like people who are normally great aren't doing like Murray Gold. Fucking kills it at writing music, especially for Doctor Who. He feels like he was asleep for this whole episode.
I did not even register. It's not that I didn't register. It's that I had so many expectations for this. For an episode called Time Heist, one would think that at least one thing would have gone well.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I like is I like the design of the teller. I think the teller's really cool.
Sure. I don't like how wet his lips are, but I'll...
I like the visual of this like big alien creature that's stuck in like not a straight jacket, but is kept.
He's a literal prisoner. He's kept in a wet box and is wearing an orange jumpsuit jacket.
Yeah, I like that design. I think that's an interesting visual. And I really like the visual of what happens when he turns your brain into soup is somehow your skull concaves.
And you're still living. But yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah. So. There's some stuff in here that I like, but it just.
Yeah, there are some there is stuff. There is not any whole elements that are absolutely knocking it out of the park.
Because even then, like, the augmented human who's got, like, a computer in his brain and the shapeshifter are, like, two really...
not Adam Lambert.
Jonathan Bailey as Adam Lambert.
Yeah, I was like,
as a Borg.
I was like, his hair is simply too dark.
Like, those two concepts, like, the computer in the brain and the shapeshifter are, like, really basic ideas. Like, it's not even, like, very interesting for Doctor Who.
Oh, especially when he's a computer engineered man.
Yeah.
When he says, like, oh, I do video games. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, no, I'm literally just a bank robber. Okay, well, all right.
Yeah, like, there's only, like, one time they even really... I feel like that was ever relevant was when he downloads, like, the information of all the biggest bank robbers in history and uses it to try and, like, maximize the guilt in his brain to get the teller to come after him. Like, I think that's there's something there, but I really feel like that should have been utilized somewhere else first. Like, if he had downloaded the information about somebody in the bank,
figure out who the girl was going to be disguised as.
Yeah. Like, this feels like...
But no, you can't do any of that because they forgot all of that information.
Yeah, this feels like so many corners were cut.
Like, they forgot everything on purpose.
Yeah. Like, it's just...
It's stupid. It's stupid in the way where I'm like, oh, this is why the show makes me so angry. It's because you whiffed it so bad to the point where now I'm like, I don't even want us to keep watching. I'm just angry.
Yeah, it's boring, I think, is the worst part of it.
Because even that everybody in it, like a big critique or criticism that I would have is that everybody did not feel special. Mm-hmm. This felt like if you were to put Doctor Who in an at-home, like, murder mystery style box set that everybody is meant to play together in one 30-minute special. Mm-hmm. That's what this episode felt like, is one of those like games that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, all right, cool. You are the mastermind, like, you're the sidekick, you're the shapeshifter, you're the bank robber. Like, you're the brains.
Yeah. You're the hacker.
You're the hacker. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, cool. We are doing, everybody is an archetype.
Like, that's part of the joy of a heist, is that everyone has, like, a role.
Yes. But it's when you have an opportunity to do something like that in Doctor Who, where you could have had aliens.
Yeah.
You had literally just four people.
Yeah.
Have Clara be busy this episode. The doctor is in a bizarre and unusual situation with four complete strangers that are all aliens.
Yeah, or if you want it to be a rescue mission, it could be him rescuing Clara. Like, the teller story is nice. Like, there's a cute element to it. But Clara has nothing to do.
Clara's literally here because...
Because she has to be for her contract. Like, she is doing... Nothing of
note.
Like, her whole thing, there's literally a point in it where she's, like, telling the doctor to figure out the story. Like, that's her role in it, is to tell the doctor to keep moving. And I'm like, that sucks. That's boring. Like, this is really just...
I could even see if it was we needed to have her in this episode because somebody... The only, like, thing that the system can't detect is humans.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Then we have Clara here, who is the human.
Yeah. Like, at least then she's contributing something.
She was just there.
Yeah. But then there's so much lacking here. Like, I really struggle to come up with positive vibes for anything because I don't like being purely negative. But beyond
I don't mind. I hated it.
But beyond the design of the teller, I really have a difficult time because, like I said, it doesn't seem to understand heists.
It's not even the design of the teller. You like the teller's face. You didn't like when the teller and his wife were walking into the sunset.
Yeah, their weird little tails covering their butts.
Their butt flaps.
Yeah, their butt flaps. That
and look, their very muscular backs.
Yeah, their butt flaps that look like they just have, like, a little dangler coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess that makes a good point. I didn't really even enjoy... the full design of the
teller. No, you didn't.
So it's There's a few like good lines in it that I appreciated. Like when they first have to get into the bank, or when they first wake up with all the memories, there's someone like banging on the door who is yelling like, open the door and you shall be humanely disposed of, which is just like, open this door and we'll burn your house to the ground. Don't you mean or?
Like, I don't enjoy being a little negative Nancy.
Yeah.
I enjoy it when you are trying to help me find the positives in something.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like very sorely disappointing to me when you and I both have the same reaction of just, eh. And now I'm so, because this was the heist episode forever and always.
To my knowledge, I cannot remember heist episode. Yeah. Maybe this is why. Maybe they're like, we can't do that again. We fucked it up so bad. We can't do it again.
Correct then. Jesus fucking Christ. Hire Markiplier. He did it like 800 times.
God, you know what's really frustrating, like, now that I'm sitting here thinking about more of it? How boring the bank is.
Oh, my God. They're like, the most interesting thing is I went, oh, my God, Asian people.
Like the
there were two Asian people and then everybody else was dressed like it's Derek Zoolander's Derelict. That was the only thing.
Yeah. Like the main room of the bank is like a big concrete slab. And then they walk into a safety deposit box, which is
the outside is a golden ziggurat. And then the inside is fuck if I know.
It's a lot of it appears to be a lot of concrete. The safety deposit room appears to be a room in an Asian themed hotel.
And then it when you go down to the personal vault or like her, the museum director.
Yeah. Like where she just sits all the time, I guess.
Even the things in her collection were. She's the richest person in the universe. Tell me why she had only Earth paraphernalia.
Yeah, this feels like
I would have rather walked through the queue for Guardians Mission Breakout.
Yeah.
At least that has some pizzazz and intrigue.
Yeah.
All we saw here was a derpy sarcophagus and a golden Ferris wheel. Like, I liked the clone angle. I wish we had seen then like 8 more clones.
Yeah, the clone angle
was. There were only 2. There was the main and then her, like, her security main person.
Yeah, and then like the implication that this security person gets replaced every time she fucks up. Like, there's something interesting there, but also like it seemed like that whole bit of it was just to set up the you hate yourself. Okay. That she's rich. I'm sure everyone in the universe hates her. I know I do. But man. Then also is this where she lives? Does she live in her vault?
Yeah.
Because there's no room or food or other people. Yeah,
they did say that there was life support in the vault. So presumably there is stuff that we're not seeing because it's not pertinent to the story. And at this point, even if they had added something like that, it wouldn't help it.
Yeah. Like, and maybe it's also just that we know how rich people live now because they're so fucking obnoxious.
And they're so, like, plentiful.
Yeah, that there's no way she would just sit in a hole with all of her stuff.
I mean, I think if I was that rich, though, or I didn't need to go out, I would absolutely have a hot tub that I was just in and out all day.
Yeah, but there's no hot tub. As far as I can tell, it's not even a bed. There's just one velvet chair she sits in to look at her stuff.
Maybe her velvet chair transforms into, like, a futon.
Actually, I don't need to sleep. I'm too rich. Sleep is for poor people.
I don't need to sleep. I'm rich. I can just stare at my stuff long enough until my brain goes to sleep.
See, the reason I don't need sleep is that's why I'm rich. I work so hard all the time here in my velvet chair.
What would you do if you were the richest person in the universe? Since I've already said I would have not any old hot tub, a custom hot tub. The
first thing I would do is I would decorate my bank better.
You would build a bank? That is the thing that you would do?
No, I mean, if I really had enough money, I would.
Silly answers only.
Mega bed.
Mega bed?
Mega bed.
Mega bed. Okay.
Like a room that is nothing but bed.
Okay, perfect. So we're putting richest man in the universe.
In hindsight, I think it's just a bouncy castle.
or air mattresses.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. Wait, hold on. Pause. Are bouncy houses just mega bed, but air mattress? More
That's
of
why
11.
Kids like them so much, is they're
it primal, reminds them of sleep.
Their primal instinct for mega bed is satisfied by bouncy castle.
Hey, Zach. This year for my birthday. Can I please have one bouncy castle? This isn't even kind of a bit now because I realized I have adult money. I can do that. And I can have my bouncy castle and not let anybody else in because it's my birthday, not yours.
Can I also bring up something else that I have no idea why they included it?
No, we're talking about my birthday now. What?
that's something you enjoy. there's the part in it where he's having Sai's having what they call a dry glitch, where he like can't help but like repeat a word over.
Oh, yeah, and how that came up twice and then it was resolved immediately.
Yeah, it came up twice and added nothing. Like, it was another one. Just like, who wrote this?
Who did write this? I have words.
It was Moffat apparently contributed to it, but it was also guy named Steve.
Okay, well, they both need to be fired.
It was Steve and Steve. Well, good news, Moffat has been fired. I guess fired is the wrong term for it. He's just not on the show anymore.
Let go. Rewrite this shit. This is one of those episodes where I'm like, all right, give it to me, I'll rewrite it.
Yeah, it's really,
can't trust you men with anything.
It's really disappointing. Like, I,
because it's not even like, oh, we've had banger after banger. It's the like, we've had a pretty like, we've been coasting, we've had some like decent episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then this crops up out of nowhere.
Yeah, like it's not been incredible, but it's been
decent.
Yeah.
And okay.
Yeah, it's been pretty solid for a
little
while.
At the very least, even if the episode isn't fantastic, it's still fun.
Yeah.
This was boring and not fun.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And you had a heist. We've done heist movies like 800 times.
Yeah, and this, I mean, also just looking at, so this was written by Steve Thompson, who regularly seems to disappoint a little bit, because his other credits are The Curse of the Black Spot and Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, which were two other episodes you did not enjoy very much.
Get him off the show then.
Well, the good news is I don't think he does anything else ever again.
Good. Yeah. Third time's a charm, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's disappointing. Like, I don't like being mean to specific people, but he doesn't seem to write Doctor Who very well. He seems to have like a big idea and then just immediately fall like on his face.
Patreon exclusive. I will rewrite this whole episode.
It'll be our audio drama version of,
I'm absolutely kidding,
with my Scottish accent.
With what time?
Right.
With trust what me time? Like, because they stole it from me, I will never get this 45 minutes back. That's the time heist, is me now recovering from this.
The time heist is the 45 minutes they stole from you.
Yes.
Yeah, I just, to be honest with you, I think of all the things in it that really, it's Murray Gold that I am most disappointed in. Because of all the people that should be like, ooh, a heist, I could do things with that. Like obviously the writers I should expect more from, but you know, if you follow,
you're a contracted worker, mate. You can make something out of nothing.
Yeah. Murray Gold fucking kills it so regularly with Doctor Who's soundtrack. And this one, I barely noticed the music's even there.
Nope. That was absolutely not a thing I was paying attention to.
Yeah. And you could tell that I was so out of the story because I was noticing that. Like, I'm noticing the failings of other people from how lame it was. And you know what? Jonathan Bailey is the world's sexiest man, as was decided a couple months ago.
No.
I don't understand how we've done him so dirty.
I thought the little circuit board thingies were kind of cool.
They are kind of fun. And I know you said his hair was too dark, but I do think the darkness of his hair helps.
It just made him look a little bit more like an emo goth kid.
That and his cool leather jacket.
Yeah, who willingly forgot all about his friends and family to protect them, allegedly.
Yeah, he's a punk. He's a cool,
like,
punk
kid.
That's
the most, like, that's the most Tumblr-ish I've ever heard my whole life. I rewired my brain so I could forget my friends and family, only so I could protect them. I'm the victim here.
Only so that I could protect them after I went to prison for the banks I robbed.
I'm the victim. Feel bad for me. Feel sorry for me, the person who willingly forgot all about his friends and family. I've got no one.
Because, and also, you know, he keeps making a good point. There's multiple times where Sai's like, why are you in charge, to the doctor? And I'm like, actually, he makes a very compelling point.
Genuinely, why is the doctor in charge right now? You guys are equals.
Yeah, Sai probably should be in charge of this, considering he's the only one with experience doing this.
The only one with experience and has some semblance of an idea what on earth he is doing here.
Yeah, and the doctor...
Because he is in a bank and he is a bank robber.
Yeah, and the doctor's only response is basically the eyebrows. And I'm like, that's not an answer. I understand that you're doing like a bit, but Sai should be like,
we've already done bits with your eyebrows, bro. We've already done bits with your eyebrows, bro. Get a new one.
Get new eyebrows. if you don't like them that much, go get them threaded.
Tame them. Make them do other tricks instead of be angry. The only line that I think you and I both wrote down and giggled at was that, like, as the teller is going through the doctor's memories, he brings up scarf, bow tie. Oh, embarrassing. I was going for minimalism, but I...
It's like, what do you think of my new look? I was going for minimalism, but I think I came out with magician.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the funniest thing about that to me? Hmm. Is that's genuine. That is actually what Peter Capaldi said about his outfit. Because he wanted to do, like, sleek minimalism. Mm-hmm. But the production crew was like, well, we need to sell toys. We can't sell you if you're like a guy in a business suit. Kids aren't going to buy Scotsman in a suit.
It has the same energy as like when Marvel comes out with action figures and it's literally just like Mark Ruffalo in a plaid shirt and jeans. And like, look, that's him before he's the Hulk. Like, that's just a guy. He just made a guy.
It's a video of a guy
that in the most literal of senses is just a little guy.
And so they were like, well, we have to put something somewhere. So that's why they had lined his coat with the like bright red, because they needed to have something that was uniquely
him. He's the doctor. Line his coat with blue. Move on. Don't ever pick red for the doctor. That's insane.
Yeah. And so he's like, so Peter Capaldi's real reaction to it was that he came out looking more like a magician.
And he was right. I take it back. That's the best part of the whole episode, is that line and that line alone.
And you want to know why? Because it's real.
And because it references Scarfy McLongscarf.
Scarfy McBig Hat, I think is what you called him.
No, because they don't bring up the hat. They only bring up the scarf.
Yeah, they bring up the scarf and the bow tie.
Yeah, Scarfy McLongscarf.
Like, I appreciate them trying to set up a twist.
I don't.
But because it's so...
The twist fell so fucking flat.
Yeah, well, it's like, that's the thing, is the twist might have worked, but the problem is everything building up to it was already so, like, underwhelming.
Well, because if we're going in for product, mm-hmm. we're going in for stuff.
Yeah.
They get the stuff so quick then.
Yeah.
And then the ultimate thing is, you know, oh, what's in the personal vault?
Mm-hmm.
What's in the personal vault that could pertain to the doctor? I would have a more positive thing to say about them having it be a rescue mission if the doctor knew who the teller was or what the teller was, what species, mm-hmm. the second that he saw him.
Or even
it was
then,
like, oh my God, like, I never knew. I thought they were all but extinct. Like, oh, geez. Oh man, like, I didn't know.
Or when Clara says, where is the TARDIS? They're like, oh, it must be in the private vault. Like, the reason we're stuck here is because somehow the TARDIS got taken into the vault. That's why we have to go there. Like, it's immediately like, okay, it's not incredible motivation, but it at least at that point gives them, like, if we don't get down there, we can't leave.
No, it's built like a game meant for children to fail. So that way there are so many ways that you can get out of the spots that you are in.
Yeah.
The number of fail safes and the number of things in this episode that are a little, like, Deus Ex Machina-y.
And some that are just, like, stupid. Like, why does the most secure bank in the universe have man-sized vents on the floor?
Again, I think this episode was meant to be an escape room.
And not like...
And I'm not, like, I meant it before as a little bit of a jokey and a jab, but I genuinely believe this episode would have been much better if it was an escape room.
If it was a Doctor Who themed escape room?
Yes!
Because that's the thing, they're not even, like, teeny tiny Clara-sized vents. Like, they're walking shoulder to shoulder,
they're
2x2.
Big enough for 6-foot-tall Peter Capaldi to just walk through.
Yeah. It's just like,
that's not a vent. That's a fucking door on the ground.
Yeah, you built an inconvenient hallway.
And it was the fact that they were labeled with like, do not enter under any circumstances.
That's how you know it's secure, when they wrote signs.
They won't. That's an escape room.
Like, there wasn't any sort of like, it doesn't even seem like they were even screwed shut. They were just vents that were in the hall, like on the floor.
You could look at them the wrong way and they would pop off.
They were just vents on the floor. There wasn't any sort of like trip system to let you know if someone had walked in. There was no like,
they just entered into one and ended up in like Madame Officer's office.
Yeah.
Then next door in the room with the glass cage.
This was so dumb.
I like, the more I think about it, the more it just makes me angry. Like, I will say I appreciate the amount of condensation in the glass box. I thought that was a neat touch.
Yeah, there's a part of it that makes it feel real.
Well, because they're like,
do you think the teller's just in there breathing on the glass all day? Yeah. He can't use his hands.
Yeah, he's just going to make little like signs and like notes with his eye stalks. He's going to see if he can write his name.
God, it's
he
just,
can do it pretty well with the left one, but the right one, he needs works. He's trying to become I'm bidextrous.
Oh, God. I'm bidextrous.
Yeah. I'm pulling for straws here, dude.
I think there's only so many ways you could say this was dull. It just was.
I didn't like it. If this was a show where you were like, oh, Cass, like, you really got to watch Doctor Who, you showed me this, I would leave.
Yeah, I mean, this is,
I would punch you in the face. You like time heists? Yeah, you like heists? You like busting into banks and museums and stuff? Well, get a load of this.
Do you like a walking tour of a concrete and steel bank?
Do you like to see token Asian people putting paintings into boxes?
Yeah. Well, it's another thing where it's like, this is the most secure bank in the universe, and there's like no guards. There's like two guards that show up after someone has already broken into
something. There was one camera.
Yeah, the cameras they have are pointed at the people who have had their brains turned to soup. Like, the people who literally are the least.
They're not doing or going anywhere.
Yeah, and they show those videos to improve morale. To show you, because if you see that they get caught, you know that your job is being done well. And I'm like, what do you mean? They didn't do anything. Like, the guards literally do nothing for those people. You personally walked the creature down to the lower floor. The lower floor that he missed four targets and picked one guy that you now keep in a cell handcuffed, despite the fact that his brain is melted.
And also his next of kin are now incarcerated.
Yeah, like, the doctor literally says he's not crying. Those are his brains leaking out of his eyes.
Soup.
I just, this is so, like,
No, you know what this is? I figured it out. Somebody went to Little Billy's birthday party and then gave Little Billy the opportunity to write a Doctor Who episode before he tragically died of a car accident. Like, that's the vibe I get from this, is that there were no adults in the room that were writing this. This was thought up by children. That is the only way it makes sense.
Yeah, here's the thing though. I think children would have like more imaginative ideas than a lot of these.
The doctor who's actually the architect.
Yeah, and we get to see him playing around with the voice modulator so that we know that's why he sounds different. Architect.
That's why I don't like him. Yeah, I don't like you that much either, bud.
It's just,
I'm really happy that it's still early enough in the day that I can get other stuff done.
Because otherwise, if this was like bedtime, you would just be getting, you'd go to bed staring at me the whole night. Like, I'm going, what have you done to me? I'm going to kill
you. Counting down the hours until you wake up so I can punch you in the face. Was that Siri reminding me?
That was Siri offering to give you friendly reminders to punch me in the face later, I think.
That's really funny.
Here's the thing. There have been many times during this podcast where I've watched an episode that I remembered not liking and coming out on the other side actually finding it quite enjoyable. Listen, the last episode we watched was one of those. I had remembered not enjoying it very much. And then between my rewatch for preparing for the podcast and then watching it with you, I actually really, really enjoyed it by the end of it. I really came to like what it did.
Yeah.
Time Heist, I remember thinking it was okay. But now experiencing with you here, this is one of the worst episodes, period. Like, yeah. This is really bad in a way that's like really, really strange. It really feels like they just, this feels like an AI wrote it.
This feels phoned in.
Yeah, this feels.
This is AI.
This feels like they didn't have enough ideas for a whole season.
They put every idea in a blender.
Someone said Time Heist and they went, okay. And they sat down to write it. And they're like, oh, fuck, I actually don't have any ideas for this that suit a heist movie, like a heist template. Again,
even if they had used the format from other media and said, well, we're just going to copy another story, but we have the advantage of time travel and aliens on our side. So we can, even if we're copying another story, like beat for beat, we have these other elements that we can use and have our show take advantage of those things. In this particular case, it would be time travel and having an entire universe of alien species at your disposal. Mm-hmm. But instead they went with effectively four humans, and not once did time travel have anything to do.
Yeah. Which is like, there are also just so many heist movies that you could borrow from aesthetically. Both the music and the visuals, like you could borrow stuff from there. Like it's okay to do that. They just didn't. Like, this is so we're talking in circles now. Can I tell you something really interesting though? When I talk about how I've talked to you about how, you know, I come to certain episodes and I find that I don't expect to like them, but I like them more when I rewatch them for the podcast. Yeah,
you just mentioned that like 5 seconds ago.
The next episode, I literally remember nothing about.
Oh, no.
So, well, it's just like, I remembered some parts of Time Heist. I didn't remember that it was Jonathan Bailey, but also I wouldn't have recognized him at the time.
No, because he's Adam Lambert in this.
I remember thinking it was okay. I was clearly incorrect. The next episode.
In your defense, you didn't have very good taste back in the day.
What is that supposed to mean?
I helped your taste improve dramatically.
My taste in what?
Anyways.
No, get back here.
Nah.
I guess there is actually one other thing I like in this episode, and that's when the doctor's walking around the vault telling people to shut up.
Shut up. Yeah,
I like that. I just like hearing Peter Capaldi tell people to shut up.
You would like that.
Maybe that's why I remember liking it.
I remember the two like silly lines that Peter Capaldi has, and you went, this episode's not that bad. Willingly forgetting everything else in it.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about the next episode, so I'm looking forward to revisiting it. It'll be almost like watching an episode for the first time, because the only thing I know about it at all is that it's called The Caretaker. So I will have to rewatch this episode to prepare for the podcast. So I'll know more next week. But yeah, I know every other episode in the season. I remember at least the basic plot of all those. The Caretaker, for some reason, I have literally, it is not in my head at all.
What if it caused you to have like severe traumatic flashbacks?
What if Time Heist stole my time watching that episode?
Yeah. What if Time Heist busted into your brain and made it so you remembered parts of Time Heist and none of The Caretaker? What if the worms busted out of Time Heist?
Well, I guess we'll have to find out on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
What is the show called again?
Show? What's a show?
Well, I had mentioned, I think, worms, and now I don't.
Are we going fishing?
No. I don't know anything. I don't even know ABZs. I should talk to somebody about that. Hey, Zach, who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? Hey there, everybody. Hope you enjoyed us trying to mine something out of the absence of good that was this episode. As you could probably tell, I am a little sick right now. I guess the real heist was of my voice, eh? Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Please be sure you are subscribed wherever you're listening now to get future episodes sent straight to you. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, and you can find us on a bunch of social media places at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Maybe it's okay that I'm sick, though, because next week we're seeing a caretaker. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whosdays.